Good morning. It says Jai Masih. Can you say Jai Masih? You know, you have to join two hands. Then say Jai means victory. Masih means Messiah. So the Pastor Alvin knows that one, how to do it. Huh? So, you know, Jai Masih. So we have to bow, so respect. Jai means victory. Masih means Messiah. Victory in Messiah. When we greet each other, Jai Masih. And so this is my family. Ferivat Church is my family. So I bring greeting to you like Jai Masih. So I'm very happy to be here today. And I would love to have my wife here, but Leti is not feeling well today. She had really back problems. She helped me a lot. And so God is doing amazing work in Malaysia. There is a hope in Malaysia. You know, when you see some video here, and last 7 years plus, my family, we are here. So the Malaysia has been home for us more than 7 years now. So I love the food here. Don't worry about food. I can eat all kind of food here. And I can talk with all kind of people here. But Malay is not so good. My Malay is not so good. I try sometimes, but I'm not so good. But I have friends. And so as I see what God is, you know, doing in Malaysia, sometimes you see the plus and minus there in the report. But I think God is winning. God is always winning here. When I see the church has been planted and our cell group growing, 15 to 17 cell group is growing now. You know, so our Sangati 3 to 9 now is growing. And last 10th, this was a Deepavali holiday. We invited 200 people, but 300 plus came. And 4 accepted Jesus right there. I was thinking, oh, is the world getting better or worse? I just question is Malaysia getting better or worse? People come to the church here, accept Jesus Christ, and their lives have transformed. I think the Malaysia is getting better. Better lah. Yes? We don't want to get worse. We want to get better. Because we believe best God. So even we are going to that way. So today I would like to show you some photos. I think the photo will speak more than what I speak here. So let's see some of what God is doing. Few photos. So this is Chinese New Year CNI camp in Batu Pringgir, 2015. The next. So about 180 people came over there. And there are several peoples, but our speaker was from Mexico this time, but very perfect in Nepali. He taught all in Nepali. So he taught us holistic discipleship now. So not just from only Bible, world and work, we go together. So next. So the 11 of them took baptism, water baptism there, right there. Okay, next. Our lay leaders training and Sanskrit Mitra. We are doing 3 trainings. One is our core group, our core leaders. Our second is our lay leaders. Third is all our believers together. Actually, what we are doing last 3-4 years. God is doing amazing. Next. So Easter program in 5th April in SRC. So we have 450 people. And some have accepted with Jesus Christ there. So Nepali training at Taiping, 230 people. Our Pastor Jeremy is our speaker. I was so happy, Pastor Alvin and Pastor Jeremy and others, some of our Love Panning Network leaders were there. And we were able to baptize. Especially we were able to commission 10 lay leaders. I was so happy. 10 lay leaders that day. And they're the one who will be speaking, teaching, preaching. Now, next. So, our leaders were there, yeah. Next. Our 10 lay leaders, yeah, commissioned 10 Nepali leaders. They are leading, they are baptizing, they are preaching now. I'm very happy. Next. So prayer at Penang Hill, we asked our some of the leaders to come, but we were about 120. Really, really want to pray. Once a year we pray to Penang, go to Penang Hill and pray for Malaysia. It's a Malaysia day. We love Malaysia. We pray for them. And a lot of Nepalese, we pray for Nepalese also. Next. So our Love Penang Network meeting at RJBC. Next. Okay, this is one, I think, I want to share 2013, we had our Christmas party here. There's some of all the pretty churches, our family members there. Next. There's a bigger guy that I want to talk about. His name is Siba. He was working state key and security. He wasn't Christian. He wasn't a believer. Can you show the next one? So he's eating here. Siba Gurung. Actually, he's from Pokhara. Then he moved to Bayan Baru. Then he knew because he heard God here, right here. Then one day he accepted Jesus Christ. And he's been telling many, many security guards there. That one day, the police arrested him because he's undocumented. The agent did not renew his permit. That's why. So he was in the camp. Depot in Ipoh. So Robin and I went met him. Then he's now in Nepal. He's reaching. He's a Nepali. He's his own family. He's a Gurung family. I just want to tell you, there are so many like that. Nepalese are here. Today I have two people, one couple right here. So I want to invite Suraj and Babita. Please, can you come? So Suraj and Babita, they were Hindu. And they met in Kathmandu. They lived together. So then somehow they came to Malaysia. And so she became a believer first. Then through her, Suraj became a believer. So like last year, we prayed for them. They actually, we blessed them there in marriage, right here in this Petibas church. They think this is my church. They really feel like church really love me. And so I invited, please come and join. Today he want to share a little testimony. Then he wants to sing a song. He's a musician. And Suraj, his family is actually ex-royal family in Nepal. They're very, very rich people. So no more ex. Now he's become real royal family. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm very happy. Before I am Hindu, so now Christian. I know experience English, little bit English. Malayu sikit. Dulu saya Hindu. Hindu, so saya tamu tara suka dia punya itu aming kakaknya tara bagusnya. Lagi saya ini Jesus saya banyak suka dia punya jaga banyak itu hari November hari 2 saya malam pergi kerja balik rumah dia itu langkah lori saya jaga Jesus saya jatuh lagi 2 orang Melayu punya orang dia jaga saya telefon dia Sebelanje hospital ambulance angkat balik lagi saya telefon itu Kishorana dia tolong saya lagi saya sudah okay lagi semua orang saya punya family semua orang free for me saya sudah okay sekarang saya mau before next year saya wife this year kawin sudah kawin saya family they love me banyak suka. Saya satu tahun setengah sudah Jesus banyak help me. Saya sudah buat movie, itu movie nya itu Chutkara. You boleh tengok YouTube. Saya buat sudah buat. You boleh tengok search YouTube Chutkara movie boleh tengok. Saya buat sendiri buat mia. Sekarang saya now saya sudah lagu baru mia buat Malaysia satu saya semua orang mau dengar saya singing. Okay ya, thank you.
Suraj, he is very gifted in music. Also, he has composed many Nepali actually the gospel songs. One of the song he want to play today, very short one. And because that the song has such a meaning in his life, that the how God reached in my life, how the Creator, God of Creator, reached me. Not none of other things, but the Creator of God reached my life. He wants other people to be rich with His love. That's the song he going to. He just composed that song and he's going to play now. Working. Take it out. No way, pass it.
Gonna make it.
Thank you, Jesus. Saya itu God Jesus. Saya banyak-banyak lagu boleh keluar baru-baru mia, boleh thinking semua boleh okay mia. Okay.
Thank you, Bro Suraj. Hello. I'm not a really musician, but I'm just helping, right? When you go, if you have friend, your musician friends, they would really influence you, yeah? It's a good way. And I really want to encourage him to be a good Christian musician. And he can make many gospel songs. And he just prepared also one movie called Deliverance. And here in Penang, Malaysia, in our Sangati, we have been using, it's become a tool for us to go to our Nepali hostels. And so, like that, Suraj and the Babita also reaching many ladies since she has been here more than 5 years now. She has brought many, many ladies to our Sangati. And they are amazing people God is doing here. I just want to share a little bit of word. I want to encourage believers today, our brothers and sisters. Can I have the PowerPoint? So I have prepared from the Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Please go. Yeah, you can go see some PowerPoint there. Next. So I want to read the Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? This is 46, 47. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. So 48, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. And so 49, but the one who hears and does not do them, it is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. And so I just want to share a little bit about what God is telling me through this scripture. I really like it. I remember this when I was, I was just 2 years ago, 2 years, I believe. So I was just 2 years believer during that time. I came from a Hindu background. And I used to worship many gods and goddesses. And so going temple, you know, shrines, offering many things. But I was unable to hear God. And also, I never received any love from God. But hearing God, in coming to church here, and I heard, I received love, I heard about God, was the only one God. And so, there's my friend also who came with me. I came, I heard Lord, and I accepted Jesus Christ. Then I just listened to him, what he said to me. So he said, go. And so I joined to mission. Go means go to mission. I joined to mission. But my friend also who came with me. And so he's in a high position in Nepal. But he heard God. You know, the one thing, he did not follow God. I'm very sad, my friend. We still chat each other, and I like him. So my friend said one day, I have money, I have education, you know, but I don't have a peace in my heart. So one day he was very, very sick. He was hospitalized. So I went to see my friend. He was in the hospital in Nepal. And during that time, he couldn't talk anything. But I still prayed for him. I want to pray for you. I think here there's two types of believers here. So 46, talking about, why do you call me Lord? Lord, if you don't do, you know. So I started talking about my friend and me. Like, my friend, he wanted to be a believer, but he did not obey. And so, then he said to my friend when he was well, discharged from the hospital, because you are still following Christ. I see your life is prosper. And so, I have money, I have my house, I have a car, and a very big position in INGO, but I don't have the kind of happiness and joy in me. So, what I'm sharing is the people, there can be a believers still in the church, but some obey and some don't obey. Jesus is talking with the disciples. Why you call me Lord if you don't obey what I said? So the 47 talks about someone comes and hears and do. What kind of people? What kind of person? So the person is a person who built the house on the rock, you know, they make his foundation very deep, maybe when whatever comes, the house not be shaken, because house has been built deep down with the foundation. And so, my message is very short here actually, and putting into practice what God said, God's word. Somebody comes to come and to hear and to do. So three things: to come, to hear, and to do. And God wants action. You know, then after action, there is a reaction, right? God wants action is a reaction. There can be good action, bad action. So if God said yes, you know, like Jonah in the Bible, God asked him to go to Nineveh, but he went another place, Tarshish. So, you know, sometimes the God calls to believers, do this, but person want to do this. But God still has the plan that person's heart, you know. No matter what, but God, if God wants to fulfill his purpose, he is still going to use you and me. Whether you believers or non-believers. How come non-believers can use by Jesus? You know. But sometimes maybe he uses. And so I have seen many in our Sangati here, Penang. Non-believers, they are helping transportation. Non-believers provide food. They are visiting, you know. Sometimes amazing. But the purpose of God is reaching through these people. So, can you please turn the next thing? Yeah. So the solid foundation, three things I'm just putting the little thing, solid foundations. First, we have to have a solid foundation. A solid foundation requires prayer. So, our foundation must be in Jesus Christ and his word. And so, prayer is very, very vital. And sometimes my life, I'm so busy sometimes. I like to pray very separately, longer, you know. Sometimes I don't have time what to do. Then one day, I was checking with my family. My wife and me were thinking, okay, what are the area are we balancing this area? But prayer life, we were not so really, you know, balancing. So we said, let's pray. Morning, early in the morning, no matter what. Morning, like to sleep more, you know. I like to sleep more. But, you know, we committed. God, we want to commit ourselves to you. But, you know, sometimes we do like a contract, you know. That God wants commitment, but sometimes we like contract. It's commitment is coming out of our comfort zone, actually, you know. So the morning I sleep, I say, wake up. Okay, time, already well gone. So we woke up with praying. I think the prayer, God has done amazing things in our lives. And so in the Bible, you know, the Daniel was the man of prayer. The Bible, we see the man of prayer. I know in this church also so many of you are, some are you praying. And so everybody pray, but some are specific, they always pray. You know, I have seen. So let you know that is really make more foundation, well foundation. And so Colossians chapter 4 and 2, continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful in it with the thanksgiving. So next. So prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. That John says like that. So I think prayer is very, very vital in the believer's life. Will make the foundation more stronger. Second, so the solid foundation requires obedience. I think that so we can see the Bible. There are so many people obeyed God, and Abraham obeyed God. You know, Abraham obeyed God. It was strange for him. Leave your family, you know, comfort zone and go. But he obeyed. Noah obeyed God. He said there will be rain 40 days, 40 nights. You prepare to save your people, you know. But everyone laughing. But Noah obeyed God, that he saved the people. You know, so the obedience is one of the another, the believer's life, the foundation will be stronger. So that's another thing is I just want to remind you, just obedient. These two people, there's the one comes, hears, and do. I think this person is an obedient person. He obeyed. So the it doesn't mean the obedient person doesn't get any problem. The world is full of problem. So the world is full of problem. Let's just, you know, 2 days ago, there's many people killed in, you know, France. So anyway, but how you and me doing personally? Are we safe? Are we secure in Christ? So we must say, I am secure. We must be secure in Christ more than our money, more than our job. So while I'm working here, sometimes I feel, you know, oh, what to do? This happened. If I get accident, all happen to my children. You know, I'm not in Nepal. So I don't have much money in my bank. So what to do? Sometimes I feel worried about my family. But, you know, God always encouraged me personally. Encouraged through my friends, through family members here, some missionaries. Wow, I have people who are encouraging me. And also some of the believers, they really encouraged me. Go, you do it. We are with you. And so, Thor, can you next, Thor one? Next one. A solid foundation required to spend time with God. I think so the Joshua, I think Joshua 1:8, you can see the Joshua 1:8, you know, the first with the reading the word of God. The second, you can do worship yourself. And there's many ways, you know, we can spend with the Lord, individually and corporately. So we are, corporately, we are in spending time with God right now. You know, so good. But I think we must also do individually. So then our house will not be shaken, stronger and stronger. God wants to be a well-built, you know, Christian, and not be shaken. So anything happens, you know, sometimes the questions, you know, no, I don't want to go to fellowship. I don't want to cell group. I don't want to do this and that. But I just want to encourage you. You know, the Satan is very, very clever. Even small things sometimes make so big. You know, take your peace and joy. Well, I want to say, stand. You know, pray to God. Spend your time with God. And also, obey what is God saying. What is God saying for the Fatima Church today? These days, you know, our leaders are praying, they're planning. What is God saying corporately is the our church? So I'm just, you know, doing our Nepali Sangati. What is God saying our Nepali Sangati? I just asked some of the leaders, you know, what is God saying to you? Are we obeying? Are you obeying what God is saying? And so disobedience will destroy the God's grace and God's plan. So let us obey God. So how is our foundation today? You know, that's why you call me Lord. If you don't do what I have asked you to do. So take individual what God is saying to you. And so let's come, continue to hear and do what God is saying. So we don't want to be the second person who builds house on the sand. you know, instead of a rock. So this morning I would say, Jesus Christ is a rock. He's our foundation. So if you are building our house rather than Jesus or other things, then our spiritual house is not so strong. Let's make our house strong and very positive. So God wants us to use you and me for His glory. And there's a hope in Malaysia. So many migrant workers are here today. And so they are knowing Christ, hearing God's here. You know, I'm very thankful for Malaysia. They're hosting so many migrant workers, people here. And they are hearing God today. So now the Nepal not going to be the same. You know, Indonesia not going to be the same. Because the God's people are going back. Even one person, that village will be changed. His family will be changed. That's why I want to encourage the Ferivachas family members. What is God saying to you? How is your spiritual foundation? Or how is your spiritual life? So, let's not have a contract with Jesus, but have a commitment with Jesus. So, commitment is coming out of your comfort zone, you know. Commitment is not easy, but when you've done it, you know, you will see the God's blessing in your life. So, just I want to encourage you, continue, keep doing, keep listening, keep praying. So, God is building your life and my life for His glory. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Kishore, for sharing the Word of God with us this morning. The service has not ended yet. We still have two sections to go, but we'll try to do it in as short time as possible. But let me give you a background before I invite Keith to come. Right? Like what Jonathan had said, God is doing amazing things with the Nepali migrants here. There are more than 500 Nepali migrants gathering each week in the northern part of Malaysia praising Jesus. And this is a sight that you will not be able to see in Nepal. When the people, the Nepalis are in Nepal, their hearts are very close to the gospel. But God has brought them here to this place, where God is doing amazing things in their lives. They are exposed to a new culture. They meet with the new people. And they get away from their caste system. And their hearts became very open to the gospel. Right? And many of them came to know Jesus through our ministry here. Perhaps more than 1,000 of them have already been saved. But our worry is that what are they going to do when they go back to Nepal? Right, so because of that, a team from our church began to pray, and we made a trip to to Nepal. We have already been there 2 times, and we really went there and pray and try to understand and see what God is doing. And we have heard stories that many of the returnees, after going back to Nepal, they had no choice but to leave their country and go to another place because there aren't enough jobs for them. Or many of them who have believed in Jesus here went back, and there is persecution and pressure from the family, and many of them went back to Hinduism. Right? So because of that concern, we have started some initiatives, right, to encourage the returnees to remain faithful to Jesus, to stay in their village, to be with their family, and to continue to share the gospel wherever God has placed them. So one of the initiatives that we have come up with is to work with a believer. His name is Roshan. It's a livelihood project that we are working with him to help him to be able to stay in his village, because he is a great evangelist, and we are training him to be the pastor and the evangelist in his village, so that he can share the gospel with the people there. So I want to invite Keith to talk a little bit about that. Please give us about 15 minutes, okay?
Both of us, right? So can I have the slides up? So there are many projects that we have identified. So one of them, Alvin was saying that is to help Roshan and his village. So to make it sustainable, we're going to start a company, and it's a social enterprise. And I'll just briefly go through to tell everyone what it's all about, who's involved, and what we're going to do next. So I've basically copied this from Magic, a Malaysian Global Innovation Center. So what is a social enterprise? If you look at on the left, an NGO has a social mission, right? And a company has a business model. Where they overlap, and in the middle, is a social enterprise. So it has a social mission. You want to have, cause a social impact. But on the other hand, it has a business model to make profit, to make it sustainable. So for example, you want to provide electricity to rural area. That's a social mission. But then you need to produce cheap solar panel for them. So that's a business model. So if you combine both, then it becomes you're setting up a social enterprise. So this is a comparison to tell you, it's not the foundation, it's not a CSR in a company, because foundation relies on donations, and for a CSR, companies basically have only like one or two employees doing social work. So social enterprise is none of them. So example, a lot of people know what Toms is. You buy one shoe and they will give a shoe to a poor, to the poor children in a poor country. And Grameen Bank is another one. It started off as a microcredit a bank, and this guy actually won a Nobel Peace Prize for that project to help out the poor and the women in Bangladesh. And there are a lot of other examples in Forbes, and you can look up that. And of course, in the Bible, there's Barnabas, there's Lydia, and there's Priscilla and Aquila. They are business owners, and they have trades, and their business is emphasis is to help the poor in the early church. Okay, around the world, their social enterprise is quite big. In UK, it's 5% of the GDP. In Australia, it's 2-3%. In Malaysia, it's starting to start off. Out of 100 social enterprises that is set up, 75% of them was set up for the last 5 years. And there's some examples there, ARUS and BGBG and DIB, you may have heard of them. It's Deaf in Business. So they set up two coffee shops in Klang Valley, and they basically hire deaf and people with hearing difficulties. So a lot of social enterprises has been set up, and it's quite it's quite vibrant activities right now. So what we're going to do as follow up to what Alvin was saying, there are many things we can do to help out in the Nepalese community. We have identified Honey. So just now we talked about Roshan's village. They said they want to produce honey. So we're going to get them to start up their business to create that livelihood so that they can sustain their community. And we're going to set up a... So we have a local contact in Nepal. I think Ramesh is helping us on that. We're going to set up a company in Penang, and we're going to sell honey, and the profit and everything with the power back to Roshan's village to buy more bee house and things like that. And beyond honey, there's also other products you can do. The shawl, we can sell shawl from I think Ramesh also has an NGO helping the human trafficking part, and some of the girls that they rescued could be making clothes and things like that, and we can get them in and sell them. And coffee is next, and there are a lot more. So the company we're going to set up is not a one-time thing. So we're going to want to make sure that it's a sustainable business activity. So who's involved? So far we're involving the young adults, right? We have had two meetings for the past 2 weeks. We meet at the youth harbor across the road. So we want to provide opportunities for our young adults to make a social impact. We also want to tap into a very vibrant startup community in Penang right now. In Penang, there are accelerator programs, incubation programs, pitching for investors and things like that. There's the Penang Founders Institute being formed. So there's a lot of activities there. So we hope to encourage our young adults to be involved as well. Right now, we are in the process of developing a business plan. We talk about sales channel, logistic, market research, and quality control for the Honey Project, right? Product development, sales, and marketing, and a lot more. So that came out from a meeting last Friday, so we are in the process of doing that. Next. There are also activities happening elsewhere. In Nepal, we are doing a feasibility study to make sure that the honey project is feasible. Now, how to get the honey from the highlands and bring it down, how to ship it from this small town to the city and then ship it out, and then how to receive Ministry of Health and all these certification we need to go through. We're going to start a minimum viable product. That means we start small and maybe get some honey in, start to sell it through the channels that we have identified according to the business plan, do trial runs and make sure that everything is ironed out. And then we are going to register for a Sanjuan Berhad. So from there, we're going to have employees and have a lot more that's going to happen beyond honey project. I think that's the last slide I have. So we welcome any suggestions, any advice, and a difficult question you can ask Alvin. So.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. This is something that is very new to us because we really think that the problems are so overwhelming, right? There are millions of Nepalese returning to Nepal, and we feel that the only viable way to help them, to improve their livelihood is through business. And so that is why we are starting this. And Keith and I, we don't want to do this ourselves, okay? We have done this before, and we want to involve the young people, okay? Part of it is really, I ask the young people who have been studying business, I ask them, have you really done a business, real business before? Most of them, no, it's just theoretical. So I said, okay, now we're going to do this and we're going to involve you, right? And we're going to help you, to guide you through how to write a business plan, how to register a company. And, basically we want to develop a heart to help underprivileged and poor people in the lives of our young people. So this is the discipleship that we are doing with our young. Right? Please give me another 5 to 10 minutes to go through with you a report, okay, about the recent earthquake funds that we have collected. I want to thank God for all of you. You have been really generous. You have responded by giving very generous donations to Nepal. We have collected 171,000 for the earthquake relief work. And so far, we have already expended 80,000, and we still have 91,000 left. Right? And the team visited Nepal also to really, we want to be very careful with your money. Right? It is easy to just give money away, but we really want to invest this money carefully and wisely so that it makes manifold returns. Yeah. So I just want to let you know how the 80K was used. Right now, when the earthquake happened, right, the immediate needs at that time were blankets, food, and medicine, and all these things. So we a large amount of our money went to buying all these things, and we sent our people there to deliver that personally in the villages. Yeah. So we were working through Nemun. Nemun is a partner of ours. Nemun stands for Nepali Migrant Unity Network. Basically, they work with all the returnees to provide them with spiritual support, family support, and it's also running a halfway house where they can come and drop in Kathmandu, stay there before they go back to their village, right? And then we also spend some money buying tents, okay, because many houses were broken down, and we bought materials, zinc sheets, to help them to build temporary shelters like what is shown in the picture. And then we also helped to build a road, about a 4-kilometer road, to access from the town to the village in Gorkha. Okay, that's where Kishore's village is. And they were laying water pipes, you know, to pipe in water from the river to the house. So the almost 80,000 were used for this purpose, right? So the question is, what are we going to do with the next 91,000? Okay, let's go to the next slide. And this is how we plan to use the other 91K. Okay, for the 45,000, it's going to be used to rebuild homes, houses, and church buildings. Right, Peace Church, Pastor Kelsang's church, they actually are now worshiping and having their service in the orphanage itself. And I was there, and it wasn't very conducive because, you know, the church can't grow any bigger than that anymore because people are already sitting outside the door. Okay, so they probably need a temporary structure. So the church actually proposed a prefabricated house, right? So what it means is like a DIY house. They can fix it together, and when they move, they can actually dismantle the house and move to another place, right? The reason for doing that is because they lease a land, and that land is only for 5 years, right? So after 5 years, they want to tear down the house. So that's why they are asking for a prefabricated house, right? So what we are doing with them is we are doing a matching grant, right? We believe that this is their church, okay? And the people also must be able to contribute to their building. So what we are offering them is a matching fund, right? You raise 16,000, we'll raise another 16,000 for you, right? So this is how we're going to do it. And also for another church in a village that they want to have a kitchen and a toilet, you know. And some of you may feel strange, and why do you need a kitchen, right? Nepali church culture, you go to every Nepali church, okay, they have a kitchen because they have to travel so far, and when they come, they will eat together before they go. Okay? And many times, eating is a very good way of connecting with people, you know. So I actually got the idea from Nepal that maybe we should build a kitchen here also, you know, so that we can eat together, yeah. After church, we just don't go off our own way, and we can have a warmer fellowship. Huh? So that's a good idea. Okay, so they're going to build kitchen and toilets, and, you know, people will have to travel from afar, and like us, when we go there, if there's no toilet, it's very difficult. Yeah. So, and then we're going to help the village pastor to rebuild his house. He was still living in tent, and Kishore's brother, nephew, was also living in tent, you know. So we think that, you know, we'd like to contribute a little bit, okay. This amount will not help them to rebuild a new house, but it will help them maybe to repair their house, okay. So we're going to give 8.5K. To each of them. And okay, the next part is 55% of the money we plan to use it for helping returnees to develop a livelihood. Right? We think that it is not sustainable, you know, to give them money and it's not sustainable. Yeah. We want to see our dollar stretch, you know. A dollar that we put in, we want to help them to be able to create a livelihood for themselves. Okay, and that's how the honey business came, through bee farming, you know, and the pashmina shawl idea, you know, where the you know, pashmina shawl, the wool comes from the, I said goat, but somebody corrected me, said llama, not goat. Okay, comes from the neck of the llama. Okay, so we're going to get some ladies to make this as well, and then we're going to buy the products here, and we're going to sell it, all right? And we're not going to sell it as honey. We're not going to sell it as pashmina shawl. We're going to sell it with a good cause. Okay, you buy because you are helping a family in Nepal. You are sending children to school. You are rebuilding a village. This is why we are buying this for. Right? So that's why we are creating this company called a social business. Right? A social business. It's non-profit, and we haven't really figured out how to do it. So I don't want to say more than that. Okay, and there'll be Nepal White Coffee. And recently, there's a returnee who went back, and he wanted to start a meat shop. Meat shop is basically like a butcher. They will buy chickens and goats and buffaloes, and they will cut it, right? And then they will sell to people, okay? So we helped him with a micro loan to buy a fridge and to do a basic furnishing, right? And these loans is loan, okay? They have to pay it back, right? Albeit it is only with very low interest or with no interest at all, right? So this is what we plan to use the money for. Next. So how can I be involved in this ministry? I think some of you who have been here, you really, you know, haven't really heard much, because only every now and then we talk about this ministry here. But there are actually 15 to 17 churches, Nepali churches, that are meeting all around us in our city, right? Which you all can be part of. You know, I want to challenge us, if we have not attended any Nepali church service, please, for 2016, just go for one, right? Just go for one. And many times when they see us there, you know, they feel loved. They feel that there are people who are still concerned for them. You know that we are their church family. They are not less a family member than all of us here. They are part of us. They are from Ferris Park Baptist Church. They are part of our family. Let us extend our love and welcome to them. Right? There are many ways you can share your skills. You know, if you know how to build solar panels, if you know how to build water pipes, you know how to, you know, whatever computer skills, you know, offer to teach a short course or something to the people. Right? Next year, we are planning a trip. Definitely, there will be one trip to Nepal. We cannot take so many of you. If there are many of you who are interested, let's make it two trips. Let's make it three trips, okay? But I want you to go, because it is very different when you go there. God will touch your heart, and you will connect with the people better. And it's amazing. Every time when we go for a mission trip, God does something more in us than for them, yeah? So I want us to go, if possible. And I understand that some of you cannot go because you have to take leave and all that, right? And transportation is a problem, right? We can have thousands of Nepalis to come to our Sanghati, but we can't, because most of them live in remote areas and they, you know, they don't have transport, right? So if you can drive, take turns to drive every week, okay? Drive five people, and then you can actually, you know, let five people have an opportunity to hear the gospel. You can do that, right? And if you don't, you can't do it, you are busy, okay? You can give money, right? Some of our lay leaders, they have to come out with their own pocket money. I talked to them last week. They say that, you know, I cannot come out with more money anymore because I really don't have much, right? So if we have money, even 5 ringgit, 10 ringgit, 50 ringgit that you can set aside every month for the transporting the non-believers to the Sanghatis, right? That will be helpful to the leaders. Be part of the social enterprise. We are studying this social enterprise, and we need different kinds of people. We need people who knows finance, people who knows about the law. You know, we don't even know whether this is legal that we can lend money, you know. So all these things, you know, we need, you know, if you can be part of this, this is a church family project that we are doing to help the Nepalese. So please be part of this. Teach English. Our brother Bob Thorn, right, has started an English class with the Nepalese on every Saturday in Chulia Street. So if you can teach English, you can join him, right, to teach. Right? I think what's something that we can do is that get a track from Kishore. I think all of us, you know, we can, whenever we see a Nepali, we can greet them and we can tell them that, would you like to be part of a Nepali fellowship? That's very easy to do, right? If 1 month, each of us can greet one Nepali and pass a tract into his hand and tell him that there is a Sanghati around them, you know, we would probably be able to help more people coming into the kingdom of God. Amen. So I want to leave these words with you. And please, you know, be part of this ministry that God has given us. And remember that they are no less a member of a family in the body of Christ. They are part of us. And we are their family. Let's extend our love and our care to these people. All right? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the sharing. We pray that the words that have been spoken will be rooted in our hearts.